four double coming apart. I want to take a few moments to share with you what GCU is about. Grabbing what should be. Firstly, we are graduates. And I think there's two aspects to that. Firstly, is a graduate state of mind. We derive pleasure from thinking deeply for extended periods. At least that's why I see you right here in Oxford. Those of us pursuing empathy and
beautiful. Welcome.
Sorry, I'm addicted to Lucozade. I love it. Can I put it somewhere respectfully? It's a beautiful honour to be here. Although I was told, you see, I didn't know the history. And my friend, who's an Anglican priest, said this, in terms of Oxford culture, was the seat of atheism. I don't know. I'm only an Irish peasant. I've got no idea about your posh English ways of doing things. But thank you so much for inviting me, this neuroscientist, who we're going to have a word later on about some stuff. It's just beautiful. Thank you very much. Oh goodness, I feel, for the first time in my life, small. I don't know how to wax lyrical or not. Hands up, who's an atheist? Brilliant, thank God for that. We've got an atheist. Hands up, who's a Christian? No, you're not. Right. The thing is, why, I'm going to go into this in a second, why would evolution and Christianity be scary? Why is our atheist friend who's brave enough to come here, why, and you'll go, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe in the Trinity, I believe in whatever. Why would evolution be scary? What is it about us that Dawkins has such an impact? Why does he have that? Anyone have a... I mean, doesn't it say something about us? Something about our faith? Something about our insecurity? Yeah? I reckon our buddy has got a few more atheists here than he thinks. He's got friends here. Probably me too. So, I do think that I was never trained in science. Never trained science. Although I bankrupted my marriage to read everything about science. My wife thought she was marrying a lawyer. She married a theologian. And a theologian who ended up deciding to read about science. That's very expensive. Very expensive indeed. In fact, I'll tell you an utterly true story. Utterly true story. The postman came one day and there's this parcel. And my wife goes, I can't swear in a place like this, but expletive is there. I go, well, it's not Playboy. I'm praying to God it's not. And I'm praying to God actually it's not Aquinas or Augustine or any of the fathers. I'm thinking, please God, let it be something, just something that the world can understand. It was a book on protein synthesis. You're my legend. And I said to my wife, open the page, pick it. There ain't no breasts. It's about protein synthesis. And it's desperately hard to understand. So it's about a desire. A desire, a fearless desire to inquire, to explore, to argue, to be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. You know, when I started to read that book, I was terrified that I wouldn't understand a word. I was absolutely terrified. I wished it was Playboy. But anyway, it was all right. I understood it in the end. So, today, I think the title today is Dawkins, the Neanderthal, and Darwin's Pious Idea. The late Stephen Jay Gould coined the phrase ultra-Darwinism. People accused me of doing that. It wasn't me. For those who use Darwin's theory of evolution as a universal theory. In other words, as a first philosophy. Do you understand what that means? Do we know what that means? Yep. As a metaphysics. He wisely saw this to be a very dangerous endeavor. One such ultra-Darwinist is Daniel Dennett, who likens Darwin's theory to a dangerous idea. Dangerous idea. Very vain man, if you ever meet him. He does because he argues that it is analogous to a universal asset. So there you have a biological theory. Yeah. So here we are doing chemistry, physics, biology, archaeology, philosophy, theology, history, whatever. But down the corridor, there's this theory called evolution. Yeah, pretty simple, pretty obvious, pretty true, as far as it goes, pretty true. But this acid rips off the architrave, off the lecture hall, spills down the academy's corridors, and it subsumes and collapses and absorbs every single subject. That's Darwin's dangerous idea. Okay, so the Anatole. The Anatole will be our guiding figure today. Do we know where the Anatole comes from? Go on, smart people from Oxford. Not smart as Cambridge, but smart enough. Do we know where it comes from? I actually didn't, to be honest. I admit this. It was from a 17th century theologian called Neander. Yeah, did you know this? I didn't. And he was expelled from his theological college for refusing Holy Communion. And he used to walk up and down when he was expelled in this particular valley, and became nicknamed Neander's Valley. And lo and behold, the fossils were discovered there of the Neanderthal. Yeah? So Neanderthal was named after a theologian who refused Holy Communion. Well, that's brilliant. You just couldn't. The irony is brilliant. There has to be a God. So the reason I want to do that is I think that Dawkins is a Neanderthal because he refuses the fruits of evolution. He refuses that which comes through the material world. He goes, oh, sorry, I couldn't be doing with that. That can't possibly be true. No. It's like when you go to Eucharist, if you're an Anglican or whatever, or a Catholic, and guy drops the wafer or spills the wine, you think, oh my goodness, that can't be sacramental, can it? He looks at us, and thinks we've come from the womb of evolution, of time and materiality. Therefore, ergo, we are not worthy. Get this. So he's a Neanderthal. But we're going to up the ante slightly. So, Gnostic paganism, most prominent in secular materialism, is an analogous refusal that material elements can give rise to real blood and a true body, or real objects. Under the caution of this logic, the elements remain bread and wine, or mere elements. But more importantly, this is the most important point, the bread and wine are denied their own validity, so to speak, as they too are reduced or rendered epiphenomenal. That's a sort of posh term for meaning simply like something with no causal efficacy, like a shadow. Yeah? Like a shadow, not a real thing. Epiphenomenal, not a phenomenon, but simply a shadow cast by an object. In this way, to be a Neanderthal is precisely to refuse the fruits of evolution. That is, to deny all height because it begins from the ground. That was most inopportune. It is to deny all height because it begins from the ground. Every cathedral Yeah? Every marriage, every birth, every book, every single thing that's ever been achieved by humans, by Homo sapiens, has begun from the ground. Yeah? That's the miracle of it, not the insult. And we'll get back to that. So ultra-Darwinists, otherwise here known as Darwinian fundamentalists, not named by me again, by an atheist zoologist, Richard Lewontin, at Harvard, I think. He is Harvard, I think. They propagate what we might call a Zwinglian metaphysics. A Zwinglian metaphysics. No offense to Zwingli. I'm just trying to say, it's the notion of where you look at something. You think, when you turn up at church and you receive a sacrament, apparently a sacrament, you go, well, it's just a bit of bread, isn't it? Yeah? You get married, you think, it's just a bit of woman. Yeah? But is marriage a sacrament? Do the two become one? Is a church better than somewhere else? Not better, but are there places which have a sacramental sense to them, for good and bad, other than others? Are we as Zwinglian metaphysicians? Who wants to go camping at Auschwitz? And if you don't want to go camping at Auschwitz, then you're a hypocrite. Why not? Sure, people died there, but they could have died somewhere else. It's nominal. It's total nominalism. Auschwitz, Margate, actually. Yeah. Why not? But there's something there that drastically happened, which drastically occurred, and we don't want to go camping there. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? There's an unfathomable tragedy. But if you're a nominalist, you can't give an account of that tragedy. Let me go back to that. Okay. So where was I? Darwinian fundamentalists, as with alt-Darwinists, blah, 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 sorry. Anyway, in a similar fashion, materialists, or at least crude ones, who, to be honest, tend to stack the galleries, do the same, insofar as one of their main rhetorical moves, it's brilliant, is to remind us, in as severe as fashion as possible, you're material. You stand accused. They point at your heart, your kidneys, your liver, your brain, and they point and go, aha, got you sussed. And we'll come back to that. I'll show how absolute nonsense it is. Okay. It's complete theological heterodoxy, to begin with. So, as the Jewish thinker, Hans Jonas, anyone read him? J-O-N-A-S? Is it the atheist guy? Good lad. Everyone should read him. Great lad. And he said, and quote, in the hue and cry of the indignity done to man's metaphysical status, in the doctrine of his animal descent, it was overlooked that by the same token, some dignity had been restored to the realm of life as a whole. He continues, if man was the relative animals, if man was the relative of animals, then animals were the relatives of man. And in degrees, bearers of that inwardness of which man, the most advanced of their kin, is conscious in himself. So, we've got one atheist over here, and a bunch of Christians. But, Jonas's point is, don't we think of ourselves as angels? We don't want all that material stuff. We think of ourselves, no, it's absolutely, no, we don't want that. No? You're going to say, look, evolution becomes a bearer of revelation, not a bearer of shame. I'll get back to that. I'll show how you're all heathens. Right, I read recently, for example, after all, according to Christianity, a beaten, mutilated, and executed first century Palestinian Jew left hanging from a tree outside the city amongst all its refuse is God incarnate. And of course, before the execution, the Logos passed through the birth canal into all its excrement, its sweat, and its blood. And then he walked amongst us, eating, sweating, and crapping. And that's just orthodoxy. I find evolution a bit like a nice cup of tea my granny compared to that. Yeah? So why should we be so, our vanity, our ontological vanity, our pride, why should we be so insulted the fact that we share a common ancestor with the great apes, more recently than we do with a mushroom, but we're quite happy in all our vanity to accept that Christ, that God became man. We don't care. We just clap hands and say we believe in you. This was God incarnate. This is God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity. He passed through a vagina. And then we killed him. Evolution, as they say in Belfast, wee buns. Very, very, very easy. We haven't grasped the radicality of creedal orthodoxy. You mentioned Nicaea, did you, early on? I think you said Nicaea. Nicaea, the creedal, the councils of the church are punk. Everything else? Boring. Okay. I read recently in the newspaper that Richard Dawkins has funded a children's summer camp. You heard this, yeah? No? One that will fund, it's a secular form of, what do we normally call them? You know, a children's camp where they talk about Jesus Christ and talk about things and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. And he went, well, stuff that. We're not gonna condition these people. Yeah? We're gonna be enlightened. So he put up, and I can't swear, can I? I'm in a church. No, I can't. Tight bastard. He only put up 100 quid. Right? All the means he's made from talking his atheist crap, he put up 100 quid for this. And the point of it was to replace Kumbaya, my Lord, with John Lennon's, Imagine There's No, you know, Imagine, is it called actually Imagine? Yeah. So Imagine There's No, you get the whole thing, don't you? Above Us Only Sky. Yeah? Brilliant, no. This is brilliant. And this is the point where Christians, if I may be slightly evangelical here, have to realize that it's not about Jesus as their savior, and then the world as not their savior. Jesus is Christ. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's as much as responsible for this podium as he is for anything. You have to have a cosmological liturgy. And you may smirk, mate, but it's true. And I'll tell you why in a second. Because if we go the whole way of that dualism of here's the saved and here's the unsaved. If you go Dawkins' way, it's Dawkins' things. Get rid of Kumbaya, just get John Lennon in. Yeah? It's the abyss. It's the total abyss. It isn't about salvation. It isn't about getting to heaven. It's about realizing what Christ, or who Christ is. Therefore, one is saved. There's a nuance there, which is metaphysically, catastrophically, in the Greek sense, catastrophically true. Yeah? We can't have Gandhi, Dalai Lama, Jesus Christ, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Yoda. Yeah? This is the guy that creation was made for, through, and is held together in. He's never thought of Jesus that way. Have you? This is why people died for centuries. I don't mean the Crusades and all that sort of stuff. I mean sacrifice for the cause of orthodoxy. Of the seven ecumenical councils, the things these churches are built on is because of defending what that revelation meant. It isn't about you and me getting to McDonald's or Burger King. Heaven or hell. I don't know which one's which. I'll leave that with you. It's understanding what it is to live at all. It's not when you die and where you go. Do you get to go to Miami? Or do you get to go to Margate? And I actually find it very hard to decide which one's worse. But I'll leave it up to you. Okay. So Dawkins is sponsoring this summer camp with John Lennon's Imagine. But we're going to see exactly where that ends up. And this is demonstrable, empirical, verifiable. I'll put my tenor on the table. Totally demonstrable. I'm not going to quote one Christian. Yeah? So, there we are at the old campfire. Come I am, my Lord. I was not very good at that one, actually. Because I never understood what it meant. That was my ignorance. So, John Lennon gets in. No heaven above, did you try, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's no humans and religion's all crap and whatever. So, now, if we get rid of religion, yeah? Get rid of religion. I mean, come on, to be honest. I mean, I'm from Belfast. It's done some pretty bad things. Yeah, isn't that right? Isn't it? Yeah? If you just get rid of it, lo and behold, the pristine world of nature, totally, utterly, rationally there. We can all grow up, put our kumbaya aside, grasp on to John Lennon. Yeah? It's not the narrative. Someone, if you remind me, ask me about the John Lennon thing later on. So, for we have, it seems, articulated this debate in holy question-begging terms. And I may say both sides are guilty, and I reckon you guys are as guilty as I am. On the one hand, we have theologians and religious people speaking about their faith in a manner that leads them to be guilty of what I would term anonymous atheism. Because I reckon our buddy up here, there's probably only Christian here. We, who all think Jesus is the Son of God and we all love him and, you know, love you. Anonymous atheists. Anonymous atheists. I'll explain why in a second. And I'm corrupting a phrase of a Jesuit theological called Karl Rahner. Have you heard of him, Karl Rahner? And he had a phrase called anonymous Christianity, right? Which was itself nonsense. But anyway, so I think this is reminiscent. So we have the natural and the supernatural. So our mate here goes into the lab and studies a brain. Whatever in here, yeah? Yeah? And then he goes to church on a Sunday and it's like, I love you, Jesus. Yeah? Isn't that the paradigm that we sort of, isn't that? Nicaea, the ecumenical councils, never, ever accepted that dualism between the supernatural and the purely natural. They were always, always interlinked. Who's married? Hands up, who's married? to the same person. You married him. Is that lied in you? Do you think when you got married, you took your oaths, yeah? So you go, I take you, whoever, yeah, Trevor, to be my faithfully wedded slave for the rest of my life. Did you believe something happened? Tell me. Who didn't think something happened? Apart from our atheist buddy. We'll get to him in a second. Did something happen? If something happened when you got married, when you christened your children, when you received the Eucharist, when you... It's revealing to you the natural world. There's our body here, studying our brains and stuff, and our synapses and all the stuff going on, could go, here is the strange thing. I won't get to the violent bit in a minute, but here's the strange thing. It's as if it's an expose, where you go, aha, synapses. Ergo, nothing. Rather, it's more a case of synapses, ergo, bloody hell, that's pretty impressive. How do you do it? It's material. How do we have consciousness? I mean, it's incredible. The more you explain it, the more miraculous it is. How do you want to experience or explain your lover? Do you want to say they're Peter Pan? Or what's the other one, Peter Pan, the female? I can't remember. Tinkerbell. Well, I know, shouldn't really go there. But, I mean, do you want a Peter Pan element? Do you need this sort of soul that's sort of completely different than this? Do you want something completely different? But God became incarnate. God became incarnate and did a poo in the desert. That is the starting place of our liturgy, our ontology. Why do you think at Lent when we go up and say, from dust you came, and the dust you will return? It's reminding us of our materiality. We are not frightened of materiality. We are amazed by our materiality. Because every pagan myth about divinity, every single religion in the world, and I'll tell you this, I wish I'd, is believable. Whether you believe it or not, every religion is believable. The only one that's not believable is Christianity. It's totally madness. It's totally and utterly madness. Three people, one God. God incarnate. Then we kill him. Then he's resurrected. Then we eat his flesh and blood. I mean, nothing's gone mad. Someone's on the wacky-backy. Every other pagan paradigm, every other type, you know, type, salvation is always an instance of a type. Always. The only time in the history of mankind that it hasn't been the case is Christianity. It's totally and utter rubbish. That's why it's true. Because every single one of you, in the daily lives you do, the people you love, the people you know, wrap up at night time, and the people you hope for yourselves, the things you, the telos in your life, that is totally consonant with this madness. Utter, insane madness. I often do this thing, so I'll get back to this, because I'm going to slag off talking a bit more, just because I fancy it. But I often have to give this talk to parents that come to theology open days. And I go, well, the funny thing is, you see, and I always use, what's his name now? Trevor and Susan. Trevor and Susan, right? So if I get them mixed up. Trevor's the Christian, and Susan is a really, really nice first century Jewish sort of Philo, sort of Greek, sort of, you know, whatever, pagan. Not in a pejorative sense, but literally a pagan, yeah? in terms of Christiane's point. And Trevor and Susan are having a chat in the pub. And Susan goes, yeah, well, go on, Trev. Go on, rock it out there, mate. Give us the banter. Give us the banter. And he goes, well, God became man. And Susan's going, what the hell are you talking about? You mean the pooing, the sweating, all that sort of stuff, like blood and, I mean normal bad breath in the morning? I mean, you're saying God? I'm sorry, no, we don't, really? She's lovely. She reads The Guardian. So she says, sure, go ahead. Go ahead. You're a good guy. Go on, Trev. So Trevor goes, okay, and he's getting a little bit scared here. So God became man, and then he killed him. No, wait a minute. I was just getting on Susan. She's going, I just got to the first bit and accepted that. What, he gets in and then you kill him? Outrageous, offensive. And she's a liberal, as I said, Guardian, like myself. She goes, I read The Guardian, you go ahead. Sorry, Trevor, I didn't quite get that bit. Could you just reiterate there, please? Sorry, I didn't quite get that. Could you just go back? So God becomes man, then we kill him, and then just do that again a bit. We drink his blood, eat his flesh, and he comes back again. Oh, bugger. That's it. Madness. And he hasn't even got onto the Trinity yet. It's the revolution which is Christianity. It's not a religion. It's a revolution. It's not a religion. So I should get back to Dawkins because I like to have a pop at him. So are we getting bored, or shall I? What am I doing here with time-wise, or 20 minutes? Okay. So we think, I mean, our atheist body and but religious people think that I can't move that, can I? That this Jesus ain't involved in that, is he? Well, admit it. You never thought that Jesus was involved in that. Yeah? A church? An altar? Salvation? You know, that's all we can do with all that stuff. Jerusalem? We can go there. Lucasade? Plastic bottle? That's rubbish. Anonymous atheism. There is no bottle. No object at all unless you have transcendence. You can't have rape, cancer, the Holocaust. You can't have anything. See, this is the point. I'll tell you this, honestly true. When I was a law student, this guy asked me in a class, we were talking about a nuance about laws for murder and manslaughter and, you know, all that sort of stuff, and precedent and all that sort of. I went, actually really, really pooed my pants. And I put my hands up and went, why not murder? And everyone laughed. Everyone laughed at me, apart from the professor. So I turned around to the guy who was laughing loudest and said, well, why not murder? Oh, I mean, it's self-evident. Life is very, 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 very precious. Then why do we have prisons? Well, tell that to the criminal. Why not murder? For there to be an act of murder requires the existence of God. I'd bet anyone here, including an atheist body, 20 quid that I can prove that. 20 quid. You can't even consummate your marriage unless there's a God. Shagging doesn't exist without God. Rape doesn't exist without God. Cancer doesn't exist without God. Now, you might think I'm talking absolute nonsense. So, let's get back to Dawkins. Let me give you five quotes from all atheists, respected, tenured, whatever you want to call these people, chaired, whatever. Now, some of you go, where am I? Okay, sorry. Oh, yes, here we are. So you think I'm over-egging the ontological omelette, yeah? You think I'm exaggerating, yeah? My hand's up, you think I'm exaggerating. Come on, be honest. Do you think I'm exaggerating? You think I'm exaggerating? Brilliant. That's honest. What's your name, mate? What's your name?
Giovanni.
Giovanni. Five quotes. The banishment of God, I'm not quoting yet, this is still me. The banishment of God, something enabled by the strict opposition of the natural and the supernatural, has come at enormous cost. We've ended up in a world, a supposedly natural world, without you lot, talking about Jesus and all that nonsense, which is devoid of that which we presume to be natural. People. Free will, first-person language, colour, ethics, organisms, and indeed life itself. Talk about cutting off your face to spite your nose. Now here comes my for Giovanni. Wait. As one Nobel Prize-winning biologist put it, biology no longer studies life. That's one. Biologos, biology, even my Latin, which is reasonably crap, I can get the bio talking about, not zoology, I suppose, different Aristotle's terms, but, so here we go again. And as a philosopher of science tells us, this one's for you, mate. If we ask the question, when did human life begin? The answer is never. He has a chair at Harvard. And no, that's only two. Three more. One more. Philosopher mind, yeah. Could it turn out that no one has ever believed anything? So when you evangelicals are out there, or you're having a Nescafe moment after the pub, talking about Jesus and saving, blah, 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 and the atheist chief up here on the left is going, well, no, I don't believe in God. And you're going, well, I do believe in God. I think Jesus is a savior. And I'm thinking, no, I don't believe Jesus is a savior. No belief at all. Nothing. Why? Why? This is the state of the debate. And if you don't conduct it at this level, you're failed. Now we're here, Giovanni, wait, I haven't got to my pudding yet. So, he wrote that about 20 years ago. Now, nice, young, frisky German chap, writing at the moment, Thomas Metzinger. No such things as cells exist in the world. Not cells, selves exist in the world. Nobody ever was or had a self. Where's Jesus and all that? Where's atheism? Where's Christianity? This is the brink. But this is a gift. This is a gift. Two more. Just to convince my mate. So, we'll get rid of, what did we get rid of there? We get rid of mind, self, belief and minds, cells, yeah? Here, another quote, philosophy of biology. ethics. Be nice to people. Yeah? We love it when we're nice to people. Red Nose Day, Gandhi, Dalai Lama, Jesus being Jedi Knight, nice guy. Ethics is an illusion formed on us by our genes. End quote. You're only who are you saving when you're in the Red Nose Day? Why are you doing it? You can deconstruct it beautifully. Why are you saving a child that's going to hit by the lorry? Probably because it's yours. It's an act of ethical masturbation. There's nothing transcendent about it, so they say. Yeah? It's all about me. It's all about me. Haven't got there yet. So we had belief, sales, ethics. Okay. Then I'll go to Q&A, so I'm boring you. But I want you to get the point. Flip. Right, I just lost that. Okay. So, formal thought. Yeah? E equals MC squared. Hands off who believes in that. I do. I'm up for it. I'm up for it. Bloody heretics. Formal thought. Yeah? QED. Yeah? QED. Is a function, this is not me, is a function of reproductive advantages rather than philosophical insight. Thus, if we benefit biologically by being deluded about the true nature of formal thought, then so be it. A tendency to objectify is the price of reproductive success. Formal thought's gone. And after all, Einstein was pretty good at the reproductive bit. He was, you know, quite fit, wasn't he? And with the ladies. But listen. Remember I said about the bottle? Yeah? So we think Jesus here, sinners here. We think in those terms. Yeah? Quine. Who knows Quine? Yeah? Good. He said, remember my bottle? Yeah? He once compared the simple belief in objects to belief in the gods of Homer. He once compared the belief in simple objects to the belief in Homer's gods. If matter is all there is, it's merely matter thus or matter so. And how do you get between the thus and the so? How do you get between the thus and the so? Is it just merely arbitrary? Is it merely opinion? Is it merely Arsenal versus Tottenham? Or is it Man United against Man City? Or is it the Yankees against, you know, is it the Red Sox, the White Sox? Wait, there's been, I can't remember, one's in Boston and one's in, the Red Sox is in Boston, isn't it? And the White Sox is in Chicago, yeah. Which is a strange grammatical thing because it's SOX as plural. I don't, maybe someone will explain to me later. I have no idea how they get that. But how is it? There was an American metaphysician, an atheist, by the way, who said, this is really serious, and this is the point if you want to conduct your lives in a manner befitting the Nicene faith. This lady, who's at the University of, what's that lovely university? Oh, I can't remember. It's one of those, it's an Ivy League, I can't remember which one. Said the Twin Towers never fail. Now, you all believe in Jesus, but you find that more shocking? Anonymous atheists. The point is to have something called the tower, to have something called a person in a tower, and then someone come and kill it the way they did, and the tragedy that befell us, is very, very, very expensive ontologically. You have to have a very, very non-reductive world out there. and it's extremely hard to give an account of it. It ain't just about Jesus and come by Yama, Lord, anymore. So the point is, so here's Dawkins at his 100 quid tight summer camp with John Lennon. Yeah? So, come on, let's be enlightened. Yeah? Let's be enlightened. Yeah? Our atheist body. Let's be enlightened. So we start off by thinking Jesus may not be the Savior. Yeah? He's a nice guy. Did a few nice things, did a few tricks, did a few things. You know, nice guy. Quite like him. I mean, but like, you know, Gandhi. Yeah? And one day you have a crisis of faith and you realize that's all he is. Oh, he's just a nice guy. And he had some sort of spiritual, oh, I don't know, it's lovely being around him. It's lovely when he walked on water. And, oh, it was just lovely. I mean, it's very spiritual and very calm when you're around him. Yeah, it's very calm. It's the end of everything. Everything. It's not about your personal salvation in that sense. It's about the preservation of the natural world. Of the natural world. We cannot give. You ask, I've spoken to so many. You cannot, on its own terms, give an account of any object in a purely material sense. Now, I don't mean a dualism between material and spiritual. I don't believe in that dualism. How can I? I'm a Christian. But we are the default materialists. Because we think our spirit, and here's my matter. Here's my spirit. Yeah? Isn't that how we think? You tell me someone you know who's very spiritual. How do you characterize them? Yeah? Immaterial. Yeah? Christ was God incarnate. And he took a dump in the desert. And then he offered his body and blood for us. That is the only way to conduct the debate. So, to go back, and I'll finish. John Lennon. Imagine there's no heaven. Yeah? It's easy if you try. Above us only sky or something, isn't it? Something else. So let's all be really, hands up, who wants to be enlightened. I want to be enlightened. I want to be, I'm at Oxford. Well, I did my PhD at Cambridge, which is obviously smarter than here. You know, hands up who's educated and wants to be enlightened. See, in Oxford, that's great. No, I'll just take the first hand count. That was brilliant. I just had a photograph of that. You know, everyone in Oxford going, nah, I don't want to be. That's fantastic. I wish my wife could see that. Apart from our buddy here, who's brave enough, and some of the... There we are at the camp, the campfire. Come by, yeah, is out. I go, I can't move away from this. You know, there's no people. So here we are, enlightened. There's no people, no ethics, colour, first person language, intentionality, Auschwitz rape, or the Holocaust. He did well for his 100 quid, didn't he? That's where you end up. And any honest atheist I've ever spoken to, which I speak to many in terms of my philosophy, will tell you exactly that. They don't know. That is, and Christians, or people of Abrahamic faith, or whomever, and even honest atheists, that is the level of debate. It ain't a football team. It ain't a football team. The world is at stake, and nothing less. Cheers. I'm getting boring. Sorry.
If you have any questions, just wave your hand.
those rather than stand up here.
Yeah, that would probably be, yeah, so just one mic there. Any questions?
Principle governing this.
Drooping and beautiful is all revival. Doing it, Jesus is your personal savior. Johnny Cash says, my personal Jesus. It's the true, the beautiful. It's the transcendentalists, all the fathers, and the doctors of the church fought for. The true, the good, and the beautiful. So the materialist utterly is like, oh, this is only purely material. First of all, that's the statement. And second of all, that's somewhere again. What the hell is man? I mean, you're presuming you know what that is, the beginning of the statement. I mean, our neuroscientist here has to deal with brains all day, if they've been vendors. Yeah? But you're not presuming, on the one hand, here's that's a debate what matter is. A fascinating debate. And then a statement that I can then make an assertion on top of that saying, oh, it's therefore only matter. Forget Shakespeare, forget God, forget my identity.
Right?
we forgive you.
The second question is, what is your argument for the reality of
That's the beginning of the mystery.
Otherwise, this isn't Harry Potter. And the point is, Harry Potter, if you had the wand, you'd be a magician. The point about Christ is, I don't care what wand you have, you can't be Christ. That's the difference. It ain't asking. And we keep thinking as the cure in our penal atonement, in our way of thinking, of curing our sins and removing, which is all true. It's all true. He took away our sins. Yeah? He did. Absolutely true. Yeah? And I see what you were saying, I said, absolutely true. He didn't do it as asking. He's not replaceable. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's not replaceable.
But I don't think the Christ is simply
It's more miraculous. It's art. That's right. You shot that completely there, sorry. Question, is the Christian construct of God true? And then every week we look at